All right, we are a Bible-believing church, right? Church. So if you got your Bible, hold it up, and let's make our confession of faith with expectation. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord your Sunday morning shout. Amen. Wow. You know, I'm so excited about the series that we're in, really, more than any other series we've been in this year. We're talking about you're made for a mission. Every one of us have been created and made for a mission. That we're not here just to exist. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're just existing. Well, you're going to get set free today. Maybe you're here today and you don't have clarity and there's confusion and drama in your life. You're going to get set free. You're going to find freedom here at Church on the Rock today. Maybe like Kim said, people, society, our culture has been attacking your self-image, making you feel like you're worthless, you're not significant, you don't matter, you're not making a difference. You're going to be set free. Maybe you're depressed, you're discouraged, you don't feel like you fit in, you don't know where you fit in. You're going to find out today. You're going to find out, and you are going to leave here stronger, better than when you came. Amen? I'm going to leave you better than I found you today. Is that all right with you? All right, let's go to John chapter 17. John 17. Now, a lot of us that are in the church, we've been in the church, we know and have heard about the Lord's Prayer. It's a good prayer. It's the prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. That'll work. Praise the Lord. I'll take it. Amen. And you know what that's all about is in Matthew chapter 6 in the New Testament. Now I hope that your prayer life and my prayer life motivates our children to pray. I hope that your prayer life and my prayer life motivates our husband, our wife, our parents, our kids to pray. Because Jesus was praying, and his prayer life motivated his disciples. So much so that his disciples said, Jesus, Rabbi, teach us how to pray. So Jesus said, after this manner, or here's a model prayer. Now that's a good prayer. It's a good model prayer. But then you go to John 17, the Gospel of John in the New Testament. John 17, if you're old school like me and you got a Bible you can feel, amen. And it's in red letter edition. Now red letter means those are the words of Jesus. In John 17, it's all red letter. It's all red letter. And so what does that mean? It's Jesus speaking. John 17 is what we call the high priestly prayer because Jesus is the high priest of the church. The high priestly prayer of Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't on the earth today. Where is he? He's in heaven. And the Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father and he's praying for you and me. Wouldn't it be great to have a little glimpse of what he's praying? We do. In John 17, if you study it out verse by verse, that's a glimpse, that's a particle, that's a piece of the prayer Jesus is praying for you and me today. So with that in mind, what is he praying for us? That we would know our mission. And that when we understand what our mission is, should we choose to accept it? I just love saying that because I love Mission Impossible. Should you choose to accept it, it will absolutely make a difference in your life, and it'll make a difference in the lives of hundreds of other people during your lifetime. Other people's destiny is connected to your obedience. Other people's eternity, other people's God-given dream and potential and purpose is connected to your and my obedience. Think about that. What do you mean, Pastor? There are some people only you can reach. So your obedience and my obedience to our mission, should we accept it? I know you are. Our obedience is connected to their destiny and becoming what God wants them to be. So let's look at it. He said, In the same way, this is Jesus, he's talking to the Father, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them. Circle the word them, mark it, highlight it. Who is them? It's them Christians in the local church. It's them Christ followers. Now, if you're a non-believer, it doesn't pertain to you today. We welcome you. Check us out. You know, don't look for perfection because we're not perfect. And we don't profess to be perfect at Church on the Rock. We're in process. Amen. If you're an atheist, you're an agnostic, and you don't believe in God, and you're here, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. But this really doesn't pertain to you. It just pertains to those who are Christians, Christ followers, born-again people. And he says here that you've given them a mission. Everyone say mission in the world. So how clear is that? That every Christian has a mission from God in this world. So if you're a note taker, write down ministry, write down mission, and write down message. Three words, letter M, better to retain and remember. So every one of us have a ministry, right, church? We know that. We find that out in 201 at Grove Track. That every one of us, no matter our background, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter how bad our life may have seemed, that God has given us a ministry, and he doesn't take it back, right? And so all of us, every member has a ministry. Now, Pastor, I want to know what my ministry is. Well, Growth Track 201, you'll find out, but let me give you a glimpse. Let me give you a little piece. It's called One Another Ministry. Now, what does that mean? For those of you that are new with us today, that simply means that you go into the New Testament and you look and check out all the one another phrases, like pray one for another. This morning, I talked to some of my church shield guys, prayer shield guys. I have guys who pray for me before services. I'm so thankful. They're called my prayer shield, and they pray for me. I'm thankful for those guys. I've been doing it for years. So when we come, what do? The Bible says we're to pray one for another. It says we're to serve one another. It says we're to consider one another. We're to respect one another. We're to esteem one another better than ourselves. We're to give to one another. Come on, somebody. So we have a one another ministry. That's our ministry, right? Now, not only do we have a ministry, but we've been given a mission. Now, our ministry is to believers. Our ministry is to one another in the body of Christ. So when you got out of your car, truck, plane, train, donkey, whatever, however you got here today, motorcycle, when you got off of that and you walked on our campus and you walked inside this building, your ministry as a believer, as a Christian, as a Christ follower, your ministry started right there. That you're looking for people who are by themselves so you can go encourage them. You're looking for people who might be a little down, a little discouraged, so you can lift them up. You can provoke them to good works. You're looking for people that you can leave better than you found them. It's called ministry. So that's Christians to Christians. That's ministry within the four walls of the church. Now, the church, as great as our worship is, and I really think our worship is the best it's ever been because it's more authentic than it's ever been. We're not trying to impress. We're not trying to show. And I'll tell you, when I know we have good worship, it's when you're worshiping and not watching. And you are worshiping like never before. And I'm so proud of you. You see, we didn't come, you know, to be entertained, right? That's not worship. Worship is when these guys on the team, they get us to engage from the front to the back. When more people are lifting their hands than ever before, that tells me as pastor, worship is better than ever before. We're not here to entertain. We're not here to make a show. We're not here to do our own thing. It's your old thing. I just got to say that. I love that. You know, we're not here to do that. Amen. But, you know, worship is great, but it causes us to get stronger. The word, you know, I'm devoted to be a Bible teacher, but the word, what does it do? It causes us to go deeper. Our small groups, we have small groups in our church. What do? It makes the church warmer. But the only way the church grows is through evangelism. The only way the church will grow is through you and I accepting our God-given mission. It doesn't grow through worship. It doesn't grow through the word. It doesn't grow through small groups, but it grows through evangelism. It grows through, if you're a note taker, number one, you and I following Christ, Number two, going out into the world. Number three, bringing them with us next Sunday morning. Everyone say following, going, bringing. That's how this works. See, I'm helping you, I hope, to understand what Christianity and the Christian life is all about. Because he didn't leave us down here to build a business or build a family or go on vacation or have a bucket list. He left us down here, what? With a mission to go out and tell the world the good news. Because he doesn't want anybody to perish and to go to hell. And that's why we're left here as Christians. Amen. So we see then, everybody say ministry. So ministry is to one another in the local church. And then say mission. Mission is when we leave here today, we're going out into the mission field. And we're to go out there and we're to tell everybody, everywhere, the good news. Are you with me, family? Okay, so let's continue to build. And look with me in the next verse, Acts 20, verse 24. It'll be on the overheads, Acts 20, 24. Paul said, I don't really care about my own life. And then can y'all look on the screen now? Just make sure the pastor's not coming up with this. Make sure I'm not fabricating this. But what does the scripture say? The most important thing. So Pastor Blunt is teaching on the most important topic to a believer that can ever be taught. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a third of the New Testament, said, this is the most important thing. This, and if it's the most important, what does it mean? It's the most important. So the most important thing is that you complete your, well, I just want to know what it is, Pastor. Okay, right here it tells us, the work, the mission that he gave us is to tell people the good news. What is our mission? To tell people the good news. To tell people the good news. Our ministry is to encourage and pray and exhort and edify. And my ministry is to equip you for the ministry. Right? It's inside the church house. But, you know, we can't just do that. It will be a lopsided church. We wouldn't be balanced. So then I have to equip you then to when you leave here, you have a mission. Should you accept it? I know you are. And that's to go out into the world to the non-believer. So we have a ministry to the believer, and we have a mission to the non-believer, if we're going to be a balanced Christian. And the mission to the non-believer is to tell them the good news. Now, you don't need a degree for this. You don't need to know the whole Bible. You don't even have to know a lot of scriptures. All you need to know is these three things. Are you ready? All you got to do is tell them this. You got to tell them, number one, their past can be forgiven. Can you say that with me? Your past can be forgiven. Do you know a lot of people are addicted to drugs and alcohol? And a lot of people are addicted to all kinds of things. There are many people, they tell us in mental wards, because they can't forgive themselves. There are a lot of people that can't have a good marriage. Their marriage is dysfunctional because they can't forgive themselves of the previous marriage and all that they went through. There are a lot of people that are afraid to step out and build a new business because they tried before with a fellow Christian and got burnt and haven't forgiven that person, so they can't move out and do better this time. So, you know, everybody wants to know, can I be forgiven? Can my past be forgiven? That's good news, isn't it? That your past can be forgiven. And number two, that a purpose has been given. Notice they all start with the same letter so you can retain them. We're to tell them the good news. You don't have to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You don't have to know all the parables. You don't have to know all the laws of the Old Testament. You don't even have to know the Ten Commandments to tell people the good news. And the good news is your past can be forgiven. Number two, purpose has been given. And number three, a place in heaven. Psychologists tell us that the number one fear of all people is the fear of death. The second one is the fear of public speaking. Did you know that? Psychologists tell us that the number one fear in humanity is the fear of death. Psychologists. And the second fear is public speaking. So notice that the number one fear people have is death. Where will I go? How will I end up? What does the hereafter look like? And you know what? We have the answer. We have the solution that in Christ, you have a future. He has a place reserved in heaven for you. I say that's good news. Wouldn't you, church? Yeah. Go ahead. Give the Lord a good thank you for that today. Amen. Now, look at Romans chapter 2 on the overheads in verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. Yeah, but pastor, you know, how do you open a door? I realize that I have a ministry and I have a mission, and I realize my ministry is within the church and my mission is outside the church. I realize that the church isn't going to get bigger through worship. It's not going to get bigger through the word. It just changes Christians from church to church. Well, I don't like that worship. I'm going over to Billy Bob's church. Okay. Then Billy Bob changes worship leaders. Well, I'm going over here to this church. All worship and worship does is change Christians from church to church. Come on now, you know I'm telling the truth like it is. Amen. So you know, we know that worship's not going to grow the church, and the word's not going to grow the church, and small groups aren't going to grow the church. What's going to grow the church? Evangelism, our mission, which is to go out there today in the mission field and tell everybody the good news. Past can be forgiven, purpose has been given, and a place in heaven. But pastor, I don't know how to open doors. Pastor, I'm an introvert. I'm not a party animal. It's hard for me to start a discussion. It's hard for me to, you know, to share my faith. Let me share with you how to do that. It's through the law of kindness. Kindness opens doors. Kindness will open doors for you. Kindness will create opportunities for you. Everyone say the law of kindness. Did you know just being kind in a very unkind world will set you apart above everybody else? It will bring attention to what you have to say. It will open doors. And kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Am I right? Kindness is a character of Christ. Kindness is a spirit, an attitude, and a choice. The book of Proverbs, which I hope you're reading a proverb a day, keeps the devil away. 31 days, 31 Proverbs. In Proverbs, it says that pleasant words are more persuasive. Pleasant words, that means kind words, are more persuasive. So you and I, in our mission, we don't go out and preach at people, yell at people, scream at people, holier than thou attitude, judgmental. That's not how we're going to reach the unreached, right? It's going to be through an act, a random act of kindness. Grab as many cards as you can on your way out today. Last weekend, you know, every Sunday I take my family, it's a tradition, we all go out to eat together, and we just rejoice in what God has done in the services and what God is doing in our lives. And so last week we went to a restaurant, and in this particular restaurant, guess what? It took an hour to get our food. And then when they brought it, some of the order was the wrong food. So I wanted to give them a piece of my, but then I thought what I was teaching you last Sunday. I hate my own sermon sometimes. And I thought, random act of kindness. So it was a new waitress, and she really didn't know what she was doing. And there we did. We didn't get there till 1. We didn't get our food till 2. And then it was the wrong food for part of our family. And I just wanted to give them a piece of mind, call the manager and tell, what in the world? What kind of place? Customer service, don't you know? And then I kept hearing myself talk to you. Random act of kindness. Random act of kindness. This is just a little extra. This is just a little extra. This is just a little extra to show you that God is for you. So instead of giving her my peace of mind, you know what I did? I gave her a little, and instead of just a tip, I double tipped her. Now she knew she'd blown it, all right? But what was that? A random act of, so the next time we go to that restaurant, if we do, she's going to want to wait on us and said, you know, those people from the Church on the Rock, they're good tippers and they're very kind. Yeah, church? Okay, now look what I'm talking about. Are you so blind as to trifle with and presume and despise and underestimate the wealth of God's kindness? Oh my goodness, this is Bible. Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, change your mind, and accept God's will for your life. Look what kindness will do. Random acts of kindness. What will it do? Lead people to God. It'll give you favor. It'll give you an audience. It'll open the door. People will listen to you. Just look and listen for people who are going through what you've gone through, you can relate and identify with, and be kind to them. Just be kind to them, because the Bible says the kindness of God is a force. The kindness of God is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the character of God. Let me show you what it will do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Look here on the overheads. Laboring together. Boy, it's a privilege to be on this mission because we're working with God and we're working for God. Oh my goodness, we're laboring together with God. So it says, laboring as God's fellow workers with him, we beg of you not to receive, look at this in the brackets, the kindness of God. Y'all see that in the brackets? So it says, don't underestimate the kindness of God, which when released has a holy what? Wow, today in Growth Track, I'm teaching on leadership. I'm talking about how everyone has influence. Leadership is not a certain office in a parking spot. Leadership is influence. And every one of us in this room has influence. And the more Christ-like, the more kind we are, the more influence we have on unbelievers. Because unbelievers expect Christians to be, you know, critical and sarcastic and judgmental. Remember what Gandhi said? Gandhi said, I would have been a Christian if it hadn't been for Christians. Come on, somebody. So I want you to see that when you're kind, you're releasing influence, a holy influence. You're impacting, you're imparting a holy influence on souls, and you turn them to Christ. You can actually turn the non-believer with our mission to tell them the good news, and doing it with kindness can actually change their heart. Change their mind, go in a new direction, receive God's purpose for their life. Now, you know, stop and think about it, church. Isn't that our mission statement? To lead people to a God who's kind. A God who's for them, that's a kind God. To lead people to a God who's kind, and then once we let them know God as a good God and the kindness of God, then what? Then help them discover the purpose God has for their life. Oh, can I share one more with you about the power of kindness? Genesis chapter 50. Just look on the overheads. Old Testament, Genesis 50. This is the story of Joseph. How many Bible students do I have? Y'all remember Joseph in the Bible? Would you raise your hand with me? You know, if you haven't read it yet, that's okay. That's all right. If you don't know where that's at, that's cool. Just hang with us. But Genesis 50 is towards the end of Joseph's life. And you know what? Maybe you can identify. Joseph grew up in a dysfunctional home. Joseph grew up in a dysfunctional home. I mean, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Didn't his brothers sell him? They were going to kill him. And then they decided to sell him. Right? Didn't his brothers, it was a dysfunctional home. It was crazy. It was absurd. It was, oh, I mean, all that he went through, sold into slavery. And, you know, he's the guy that went from the pit to the palace, but oh, the journey in between. Lied about, persecuted, opposed, put down, forgotten, promised to, promises broken in the prison. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him because of his purity. He was put in jail because of doing the right thing. Oh my goodness. But at the end of his life, he's talking to his family that hurt him, rejected him, tried to kill him and sold him into slavery. At the end of his life, he is exerting kindness on his family. And I want you to see what kindness does. Look what it says. Now, therefore, Joseph is talking to his family. Do not be afraid. I will provide for you. I will support you. Do you know what kindness is? Yeah, Pastor, you told us it's a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Pastor, you told us it's a force, it's an attitude, yeah. But defined in the Bible, kindness defined in the Bible, it actually means to be adaptable. Kindness means to be adaptable. Kindness means to be adaptable to meet the needs of other people in order to advance the gospel. Kindness means to be adaptable, to meet the needs of others, to advance the gospel. That's what kindness means in the Bible. So notice he said, I'll take care of you and your little ones. And he comforted them. And what did he do? He imparted cheer, number one. He imparted hope, number two, and strength, number three. And he spoke to their hearts. Look at the brackets, family. How did he speak to them? They did him wrong. Sounds like a country western song. They did him wrong. But he spoke to them with kindness. So when you and I leave here on our mission to go into the world, even if you're an introvert, even if you don't know the Bible, even if you don't know the Ten Commandments, it's okay. Because number three, you have a message. Did y'all forget that? You didn't forget that, right? Number one was ministry. Number two is mission. And number three is message. Well, Pastor, I don't have a message. You're teaching us the message. I don't have a message. I got a 9-to-5 job. What are you talking about? Pastor, I'm a homemaker. I'm a mother. I take the kids to school. I take them to soccer. I don't have a message. You give us the messages. No. You got a greater message than I'm sharing with you today. You know what your message is? You have a message because you're a messenger. Aren't you a messenger? The Bible says you're a messenger. Did you know that? Pastor Kim related to it today. You're an ambassador. One translation says you're a messenger. So every member is a minister. Every member has a mission. And every member is a messenger. And if you're a messenger, you got a message. Well, Pastor, I can't give a 3-point sermon with three stories and point and picture, an introduction, and this, that, and that. What are you talking about? Message. Your message is your testimony. Your message is your life story. Your life story. Your message is your testimony. And the Bible says you'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Let me give you a couple scriptures, and I'm going to give you 6 points, and then we're going to go beat the Baptist to the buffet line. Is that okay? Okay, praise the Lord. All right, look with me, if you would, in Psalm 96, verse 2. It's on the overheads for you. Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing out his praises, bless his name, and what else does it say? Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Can we all say it on three? Each day. Each day. Will you? Will you start? Will you do it? It'll make a difference. I know you can do it. Will you? Will you do that? Each day. Not once in a while. We're to be intentional. We got a mission. Should you accept it? I know you will. What are we to do? Each day, we're to look and listen for people who are going through what we've gone through so we can relate and identify with them. And we don't give them a sermon or a homily because your message is more powerful to them than my message I'm teaching to you. Oh, no, Pastor, the Word of God is... No. We live in a culture today that the world doesn't believe in the Bible. Don't want to listen to the Bible. Don't want to hear your scriptures. Don't want to know about your degrees. They don't want to debate. They don't care about apologetics. The Pew Research says 50% of the church today doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They think it's irrelevant. It's a history book. So today, now back in the 60s, it would have been different. But today, the world out there will take more notice to your story than they will my sermon. Because they want to burn the Bible. They want to get rid of the Bible. They want to make excuses for the Bible. They want to make it a history book, and it doesn't relate, and it's not for today. But they can't argue with your experience, your message. Come on, somebody. So each day, we're to tell somebody that he saves. Each day, tell somebody that he saves. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but in your hearts, set Christ apart. Am I helping anybody today? I sure want to help you to understand the Christian walk, and what it's all about. Okay? And it says, set Christ in your heart as holy. Acknowledge him as Lord. Always, everyone say always. Say always. Say always. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you about the hope that's in you, but do it with courtesy, kindness, you can interject that there, and respectful. So that's the secret sauce, right? Now, what are we doing? We're telling people, you know what? I was hopeless. I was hopeless. I was hopeless. And I turned my life and I believed and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and He gave me hope. I was hopeless. You're telling your story. I was hopeless. You're a messenger with a message as the team comes out. I'm a messenger with a message, and my message is my life story, is my testimony, and I was hopeless. My husband left me, my wife left me, my kids got on drugs, my daughter got pregnant, people forsook me, the church wouldn't help me, this, that, and the other. The list goes on. Went to the doctor, incurable disease, I got evicted from my house, no one would help me, this, that, and the other. I was hopeless, and then I found Christ that led me to Him. And I believed in Him, and I accepted Him, and now I've got hope. Hope is the oxygen to the soul. You can't live very long without hope. Oh, you might exist, but you can't live without a God-given hope. Now, let me tell you in closing, and the guys have put it up here for me, 6 reasons why your message, which is your story, is most powerful. It's more powerful than me preaching a story. See, in here, you don't want to hear my story. You're Christians for the most part. You're saints for the most part. You want to hear the word because that's what equips us. But out there, they don't have time for the Bible. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't put credit in the Bible. They think it was just a bunch of men who wrote it. It's just a history book. But they will value and they will listen to your story. So it's more powerful. Let's look at it, guys. Can we put it on the screen real quick? Those reasons why. Next, because number one, or A, because your story is unique. Your story is unique. There's no one story quite like your story. There's no one story quite like your story. It's personal. Next, B. Why your story, your message is, because it's personal and it's easy to understand. People can't understand Revelation, Ezekiel. Who's Ezekiel? Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Come on, Three Dog Night, rock and roll group. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. They don't know who Jeremiah is out there. They don't know who Ezekiel is. They don't know who Gideon is. But they can understand your story that they relate to. Every member has a ministry. Every member has a mission. And every one of us are messengers with a message. And that's what we go out there and tell them. Next, C, is that you experienced it. I mean, you know, you can't tell me Ted Drew's is no good. Ted Drew's custard. You can't tell me that it doesn't taste good. Because guess what? I've tasted it too many times. And I've seen, ooh, it's good after a Cardinals game to go by Ted Drew's. Just tops it off. Can I have a witness in the house today? See, you can't talk me out of it because I've experienced it. See, they can't talk you out of your relationship. They can debate you over pre-trib, pran-trib, all-trib, women preachers, non-women preachers, prosperity, angels. They can argue with you over security, eternal security, but they can't argue with you over your experience, your message, your life story, your testimony. Next, C. D, people remember personal stories. Haven't you found that to be true? They don't know your scriptures. They won't remember your scriptures, but they'll remember your stories. I find that about y'all out there in the lobby, which is cool. You don't remember my, but you'll remember that Ted Drew's right there. Pastor, we're going there this afternoon. Praise God. Amen. So they remember personal stories. Next, why is your message so powerful? People relate. A lot of people, they can't relate to Noah building an ark. Now, you and I can because we're believers, but if you're here today and you're a non-believer, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. If you're watching on television, we are so glad that you stopped and you're listening. We love you. God is for you. But, you know, I don't expect the world to know how many animals were in the ark and where the dinosaurs come from. And I don't expect the world to know all of that. But you know what? They can relate to our stories. They can relate to our message, what God has done in our life. I had no hope. I came to Him. He gave me hope. So people will relate to personal stories. And, you know, you could take a picture of this on your cell phone. You'd have it real quick. Last one, I believe, is it's the most effective witness you have is your message, which is your testimony, which is your life story. And I'm out of time. Did I help anybody at Church on the Rock today? Give the Lord Jesus Christ all the glory. Amen.